We're going to go into the Word. I want us just to pray as we get started this morning. And I believe the Lord is going to speak to someone. The Lord is going to encourage somebody. The Lord is going to strengthen somebody this morning. Let's pray for the Word. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the preaching of the Word this morning. We pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you would minister to each one of us in the comfort of our homes. We pray that your name would be exalted. We pray that our hearts would be in a space to hear the Word in the name of Jesus. We humble ourselves this morning. We pray, Father, that you'd speak to each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. As we get started this morning, I'm sure our hearts are a bit heavy around what has been happening in our country in this past week and a half. I want you to realize that we are not a God-forsaken country. We are a country that is loved by God. We're a country that the Lord is jealous about. And this nation is a beacon of hope for the continent of Africa. I believe with all my heart that we carry something special for this continent, and we need to remain resolute. We need to remain determined to say we will not be swayed on what God has called us to be as a nation in the name of Jesus. And I want to challenge every believer out there to speak life over the situation, to pray and to remain in a prayerful state. I want you to know that we are in an agent season. Last night we attended a teaching on evangelism, and the teacher of the Word mentioned something very, very powerful. He said, we are in an urgent season where everything is urgent, and therefore we need to speak with urgency in our hearts. We need to declare and to know that God is counting on us to be His mouthpiece in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, since March this year, we've been on this series titled, The Atmosphere for Kingdom Manifestation. We've been on this since March, and I believe the Lord is going to continue ministering to each and every one of us under this title, The Atmosphere for Kingdom Manifestation. I want you to know that the people in the world are waiting for the kingdom of God to be manifested. And the kingdom of God is working through you, is going to work through the church to manifest what it is made up of. Now, the past 7 weeks, we've been dealing with how prayer creates the right atmosphere in one's life. Now, today I intend to introduce to you another element in your walk with God that creates the atmosphere for kingdom to happen. Now, I want to start off this morning by asking you a question. Allow me to ask a question. And this is the question. What is your understanding of the term to be captured? What's your understanding of the term to be captured? I'm sure if you've been around Mzansi, you're probably an expert when it comes to your understanding of being captured. I'm sure each one of us has got something to say about being captured. Now, whether you are aware of it or not, you are captured. You are a victim of some capture of some sort. Some people know about it, but they cannot admit to it. Some people don't know, and yet they are highly captured. Now, when you are captured by something, that thing would have gained control of you. It has high influence on the way that you look at life, your decision-making process. What is of priority to you is determined by what has captured you. Okay? When something has gained your control, that thing starts dictating how you react and how you respond to certain stimuli. For instance, when you are captured by love, love starts controlling your behavior. You no longer worry about what it will cost you, as long as it's about love. You no longer count the cost of the number of calls you make to this person. I remember when I started dating my wife, would spend hours and hours on the phone because she was away in Grahamstown. I was in Cape Town. I was captured by love. Those of you who I love, you know what I mean. You're able to start saying things like, I'll cross the oceans for you. Amen. Come on now. I'll climb the highest mountain for you. Really? Oh yes, the person has been captured by love. When you're captured by love, you don't mind changing your surname. Because you love this guy, you take on his surname. Well, on the other side, when you are captured by anger, you no longer worry about the consequences of your actions. You will do anything to appease yourself, to gain back some control of some sort. In other words, being captured is not necessarily a bad thing. It's a matter of what has captured you. It's a matter of what has captured you. When you look at Africa, when we were busy going through the liberation struggles, you find that people went into exile because they were captured by the ideal of seeing the black man being free. They were captured by an idea. And now this morning, I want you to realize that we need to be captured by something that is more powerful than us. Now, why am I saying all of this morning? Because there's another way of creating the atmosphere that we need to look at this morning. And I want you to realize that one other way of creating atmosphere for kingdom manifestation is by infusing the Word of God into the atmosphere. And now in the coming weeks, we'll be embarking on a series that is titled Captured by the Word. Come on now. Captured by the Word. This is what we're going to be doing. And now this morning, can I make a proposal to you? If you are to be captured by anything, let it be the Word of God. If you are to be captured by anything, let it be the Word of God. When you are captured by the Word, your life takes on a different shape altogether. Let me pose to you another question this morning. Has your heart been captured by the Word or by the world? Has your heart been captured by the Word or by the world? Why? It is so important for you to interrogate your life and say, what has been controlling me? Your atmosphere is determined by what has captured you. And whatever has captured you surfaces up whenever there's a demand over your life. If you've been captured by the Word in your life, when there's pressure around you, the Word will come up. But if you've been captured by the world, when you are pressured by life, the world come up. You see, you need to appreciate the fact that a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. A man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. You find there's a portion of scripture in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. That you are a slave to whatever has mastered you. And this morning, I want to ask you a question. What has mastered you? What has mastered you? Now, let's get into the Word. Let's go deeper into this aspect of being captured by the Word. Number one, the Word of God is the main ingredient for kingdom manifestations. The Word of God is the main ingredient for kingdom manifestations. If the kingdom of God is to manifest, The word of God is important and it is needed. When we speak of an ingredient, you'd realize that it's an element that you put into your recipe in order to get a certain flavor to come up. My wife baked a cake for a daughter. It was her 12th birthday this past week. And I don't know what she did with this cake, but it was probably one of the best cakes I've heard. There was a citrus taste to it. There was just something so special about it. There were ingredients that she had to infuse into that dough for this taste to come out. And this morning, I want you to realize that this ingredient called the word is what you need if the kingdom is to manifest in you and through you. It is impossible, let me say this, it is impossible to create kingdom atmosphere without the word of God. That is why I am surprised by the common believer who wants to see miracles in his life but does not love the word of God. I am surprised by an individual who wants to see the move of God in their life but they are not into the word. Now, a church that wants to see the kingdom of God in operation must be given to the word of God. A family that wants to see the power of God at work in its environment must be given to the word. An individual who wants to see the kingdom coming to his life must be given to the word of God. And why am I saying this? Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and empty. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. Verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, what a beautiful portion of scriptures that shows us that the Godhead was involved in creation. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, in the beginning, Elohim, the multiplicity of God, created the heavens and the earth. Now, confusion reigned at some point. Darkness hovered on top of the waters. All of that was the case up until the word was released. When the word, Jesus, was commissioned, confusion and darkness had to run. And this morning I want you to realize that there is no amount of confusion and darkness that can withstand the power of the word. The Bible says, and there was confusion. The earth was without form and empty. I want you to realize that what we see in our nation today needs the word. What we see happening in our communities needs the word. Yes, politicians can come and speak whatever they say, but in the absence of the transforming power of the word, you can never bring to an end certain behaviors. You can try to include all sorts of behavior modification teachings, but without the word of God, our situations will repeat themselves. So what am I saying this morning? Nothing meaningful is possible in your life without the active involvement of the word of God. Nothing meaningful is possible in your life without the active involvement of the word. The word had to be released over the darkness. The word had to be released over confusion. And when the word came, the Bible says it was good. Whatever God created was good. He spoke everything into being. And this morning, I want to say to you, when there's confusion in your heart, speak the word over the confusion. When there's fear in your heart, when you're being tormented by fear, speak the word over your fear. So nothing meaningful can be possible in the life of an individual without involving the word. Go with me to John chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. What a powerful, powerful portion of scriptures. It's speaking of the deity of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him. And listen, and without Him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. Just look at that for a moment. Without Him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. Can I say this morning, without Him, nothing will come to being in your life. Without Him, nothing will come to being in the church. You see, there are certain sects that don't believe that Jesus was God, and therefore they went on to change the reading of verse 1. And you need to be weary of those translations. One of them is the New World Translation. It does not acknowledge that Jesus is God. But we know that Jesus is God. God the Son. Glory be to God. And now this morning I want you to realize that it does not get clearer than this. That without the Word, nothing came into being. In your life, the amount of Word you contain determines what can come out of your life. If you are lean on the word, manifestations will be lean as well. All you need in your life is a word to create the future you want. All you need in your life is the word in order to create the future that you need. Now, hear me good. It is good to plan for the future. It is wise to have a retirement annuity. It is prudent to go for marriage counseling. It is advisable to diversify your investment portfolio. But let me say to you, without the word, it's all in vain. Without the word, you can plan for the future. You can diversify your portfolio of investments. But without the word, it's all in vain. I mean, how can I describe this? How can I put this across in a clearer way? Now, I would say the word of God is like the digit one behind the six zeros. Take the one out, and you are left with zeros. Nothing. Come on now. That's exactly what the word is. It is like the digit one behind the zeros. You can have as many zeros as you want, but if that one is not there, it's just zeros. So you can have as many plans as possible. Without the word, it's all vanity. And this is the thing, a lot of people make a plan. We are busy planning without the involvement of the word. So what am I saying this morning? That the word of God is the main ingredient that is needed for kingdom manifestation. Number two, every word of scripture is authoritative and final. I want you to think about that. That every word of Scripture is authoritative and final. And this is where the rubber hits the road for a lot of people. And you need to answer this question for yourself, whether the Word of God is the final authority in your life or not. Is the Word of God the final authority in your life or not? And I must say this morning, if the answer to this question was in the affirmative, 90% of our issues would be no issues any longer. Many believers do not fully submit to the authority of the Word. That is why we have so many Christians who are sitting on the fence, resulting in them becoming of no impact in their communities. Do you really believe that every word is authoritative? More and more you hear people telling you that the Word of God is archaic. They will tell you that some of the Scriptures were not written for our contemporary world. Some of the Scriptures do not apply to us, because some of the Scriptures are anti-human rights. People cannot read Romans chapter 1 and take it as the Word of God that is applicable to us today. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you have a biblical worldview concerning the issues around you? Do you know that one of the reasons why we don't see a lot of persecutions in our country, into other nations, it is because the Christians have moved away from the sanctity of Scripture. We are no longer prepared to confront worldviews that are not biblical. What does the Bible say about same-sex marriage? The Bible has a view around that. Marriage was created for a male and a female. And I'm saying this from the position of a pastor who believes in the sanctity of Scriptures. That's my religion, and I believe that the Word of God is the ultimate authority by which I should live. And when I come into the house of God, I submit myself to the fullness of the Scriptures. What does the Word of God say about sexual immorality? What does the Word of God say about cohabitating? And this is where it really matters. We have a lot of believers who have compromised with the world to a point where they would rather go with the view of the world and not what the Word say. Do you know that the gospel is offensive? The gospel was never meant to be what makes people comfortable. The Lord Jesus said, when I came, I did not come to bring peace. He says, well, my coming would result in an enmity between a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law. Why? Because one will say, I belong to Jesus Christ. And another one says, you don't qualify to be my daughter-in-law if you follow Jesus. Am I talking to somebody this morning? Right now we debate over certain things in the house of God, which should not be a debate at all, because it's all found in the Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The Bible says, some scripture. Does it say some scripture? No. It says all scripture is breathed out by God is breathed out by God for what? And profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. For what reason? That the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. All scripture is breathed by God. All scripture proceeds out of God. It was not born out of human interpretation or by human decision. When you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, you see that. And I want you to realize this morning that scripture is not for private interpretation. Scripture interprets itself. When you want to propagate a theology or a doctrine, you've got to show me whether it was found in the Old Testament, whether Jesus taught it, whether the apostles endorsed it. And are you able to find the harmonization of scripture in a doctrine? And this morning I want you to realize that it's all scripture. The Old Testament was breathed by the Spirit of God. The New Testament was breathed by the Spirit of God. And we have no right to take or to add to what's in the canon. And I want you to know, as God Church, that is who we are. We believe in the sanctity of Scripture. And this applies to the Old Testament. In fact, the Old Testament is the New Testament hidden. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Your Christianity is not complete when you take out one of the testaments. Now, let me say this to you, that your theology determines your morality. Your theology determines your morality. The way you interpret scripture determines what you see as sinful. Righteousness is not relative. Righteousness is absolute. What the Bible says is righteousness. That is what it is. Glory be to God. I'm talking about the authoritativeness of the word. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Rome, and he said in Romans 15, verse 4, I want to read this in two versions. For whatever was written before was written for our instruction, so that through our endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we may have hope. Whatever was written before was written for our instruction. Talking about the Old Testament. So that through our endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we may have hope. Let's read that in the message. The Bible says, even if it was written in scripture long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. God wants the combination of his sturdy, constant calling and warm personal counsel in scripture to come to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. The Old Testament was written for instruction. Glory be to God. Now, allow me to say this to you, that the degree to which you are submitted to God's word determines the level of its impact in your life. The degree to which you are submitted to God's word determines the level of its impact in your life. The more I am submitted to the word, the more I'm a beneficiary of what is in the word. You see? When you look at scripture, you'd find that everybody who submitted himself or herself to the word were a beneficiary or became a beneficiary of the word. Let me give you two examples. Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was faced with a controversial moment. Mary had not known a man. But an angel came to him and says, you're going to have a child. And she said, no. How can that be? I've never known a man. How can I become pregnant? It's not possible. And she was at the verge of missing a miracle until verse 38 of Luke chapter 1. And Mary said, behold, you see, you've got to surrender to the word. You've got to say, behold, the servant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. I want you to know the miracle happened at that moment. When Mary said, let it be done to your servant according to your word, the seed was implanted into her womb and she conceived. It was out of obedience and submission to the word of God that the impossible became possible. Let it be done to me according to your word. Are we able to do that this morning? And say, let it be done to me according to your word. How many times have we been prompted in our hearts to forgive, but we're not able to forgive? But the day that you say to yourself, let it be done to me according to your word, there will be a grace that is released over your life and you're able to let go. The centurion man had a boy, a son who was sick. He went to Jesus and said, Jesus, my son is dying. Would you mind coming to my house and pray for him? And Jesus, being Jesus, he said, I will go. I will come to your house. But just before Jesus left, the man said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy for you to come to my roof, under my roof. Look at this, Matthew 8, verse 8. The centurion answered, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. But just say the word. And Jesus said to the centurion, go. And as you have believed, so let it be to you. And his boy was healed in that moment. Come on now. Talk about being submitted to the word. This man understood. He said, I'm also a man under authority. I say to the one, go, and they go. I say to another, come, and they come. And therefore he believed that Jesus was a man of authority and his word was authoritative. And this man was a recipient of this. Are you fully submitted to the word? You see, as long as you are in that space of debating with the word, you might not be in a place to experience the fullness of the promises of God. As long as you debate and you rationalize things in order to justify one's behavior, that individual is not ready to experience the promises of God. Jesus spoke about the longevity of Scripture in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, where he said, do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. Verse 18, for I tell you truly, until heaven and earth pass away, not a single jot, nor a stroke of a pen will disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Not a comma. Even a small phrase will not disappear from the law until it is accomplished. I want you to know the word of God is there forever. We will change, but the word will not change. Cultures will evolve. People's worldviews will change, but the word remains steadfast. The word remains true. The word remains unchanging. Glory be to God. That is why I want you to know that when you submit yourself to something that is as sturdy as the word, your life becomes sturdy. Many people are like yo-yos. Today, they're excited because something nice is being said. Tomorrow, they're low because something different is being said. But when you are a person of the Word, there's a level of stability that you gain in your life because the Word is unchanging. It doesn't matter how popular it is. You see, we speak of pop culture. Pop culture changes. We grew up seeing our mothers wearing these shoes that are so thick. Okay? And they had these belly-bottomed jeans, Levi jeans. They went away. That thing went away, but slowly I'm seeing it coming back because I'm seeing my daughter starting to wear thick-soled tackies. I'm like, I've seen that before. You know, the bootleg jeans, they're coming back. Some of them that are wide, somebody's wearing them. I saw them leading worship. What am I saying? The evolving nature of culture, but the Word does not change. When you are a person of the Word, you are constant in your view to life. Hallelujah. Now, what makes the Word very authoritative? God is the source of the Word. And it is the source that gives it the ultimate authority. The Word we are talking about here, it is the Word of God. It proceeds out of God. Now, I want you to realize that when I make you a promise, and my son makes you a promise, which promise do you think is more authoritative? It's mine, because one, I have capacity to deliver the promise. But my son might struggle to deliver the promise just because he does not have the capacity. Now, this morning, I want you to know that we have a sure word of prophecy. That we do well if we pay attention to it. Glory be to God. We have a sure word of prophecy that we do well if we pay attention to it. Because prophecy was given not by man's interpretation, but by the Spirit of God. Now, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. The Bible says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from the heavens and does not return there but waters the earth and makes it bring out and bud and gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please. And it shall certainly do what I sent it to do." What gives the word authority is the source. Father God says, it comes from me. It's my word. And therefore, I watch over it to prosper in whatsoever I have sent it to do. Are you a recipient of the word of God? You can go bank it. You can go to bed because you know that word will come to be. It might feel like it's being delayed, but the word will speak. The word will not lie. The promises of God are yes and amen. Hallelujah. This morning, I want you to know that when you carry the word of God, you are assured of results. Why? He says there, "It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I have, what I've pleased it to do." Look at Numbers 23, verse 19, a very popular one. This will be our last scripture. "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent." Look at this. "Has he said it, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Look, man, if you have the word of God, you don't need to ask people for affirmation. If it's a word of God, it is a sure word of prophecy. It will not lie. Glory be to God. I remember just giving you one example of the many words that I've received. I remember in 2003, back in the days, I got a prophetic word about where I was going to work, how long I was going to work in that environment. So this man of God came and gave a prophetic word over my life and said, this is what the Lord is saying. You are going to work for this company. Okay? You are going to work for this company for 6 years. And after 6 years, you're going to leave. 2003. Okay? I started working for that company in 2004, July. In December, in July 2010, I finished working for them. And I left. When I looked back, it was not as if I was planning to say, after 6 years, I'm going to leave. But at some point, at the end of 2009, something started happening in my soul. I knew my time was up. I knew my time was up where I was part of the church, where I was. But I did not know where I was going to go. But do you think it was coincidence that I left that workplace on the 31st of July? I remember on the 31st of July, we were actually driving from Cape Town with my family. And I look back, I'm like, if that word was from God, surely it had to come to pass. And this morning, what word do you have? The Bible says we mustn't look down upon prophetic word. We must test every prophecy to see whether it is of God or not. But ultimately, the prophetic word that should drive our lives is the word of God. I don't care how powerful a man of God is. If that man of God says something that contradicts the canon, that is not from Jesus. This is what we live by. Glory be to God. And this morning, I want us to just think about our journey with the Word. I want us to pray and ask God to stir up our hearts, to fall in love with His Word once again. To fall in love with His Word once again. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I just pray for your people this morning. I thank you, Father, that you sent your word and your word healed them. I thank you that, Father, before you do anything, you reveal things through your word. And this morning, I pray that there's an awakening in our hearts towards the word. Father, forgive us where we have questioned your word. Forgive us, oh God, where we have tried to rewrite scriptures to suit our contemporary environment. Lord, your promises are yes and amen. Your promises are true. And Father, this morning, I pray that God Church would be a church of the word. I pray for every individual this morning that we become a people of the word. Father, we give you glory this morning and we give you praise in the name of Jesus. And everybody say, amen.